We've been talking a while about doing a podcast for probably 3 years, 2 years, I reckon. Me and you have been like, let's do a podcast together. Let's do a thing.
We have.
And we've done the radio shows together.
Done loads of those.
Yeah, did rock and metal. Monster Shop now on Louder Than War Radio. And we were coming up with cool names for our podcast that we'd do.
we've been talking about names long as we've been known each other, and let's call it. I can't remember some of the names have been awful.
and then came back to this idea of, we've already got our podcast. Because you came around to Matt's really early doors when we first started the Circularity podcast.
Oh, in his shed.
Yeah, in his shed, yeah.
That was brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah, so we did that. And so we've already done it. So why don't we just keep doing
that? Just carry on. And here we are. We're doing it. This is it.
So we were just talking about, and it's a good point to drop off, because the library that we've taken on in Woodville, the Community Managed Library, at DE117JB, you can come circularity.org/library. All the opening times are on there. You can come whenever you want and visit us and say hello. But it's not very much used.
No.
And libraries in general aren't. And that's why I think there's been this shift from this sort of county council owned kind of projects and services to more, let's see if the community can help us to operate the service, because it's not really viable to keep spending all this money on this anymore, so let's find a different way, which I think is really good. Some people don't like it.
You think it should remain
a public service
see both sides of that. I do think that libraries especially, they are, you kind of have an attachment. I mean, I remember my first trip to the library. I grew up in Measham, and I can still remember my mum dragging me to the library, but I still remember that enjoyment of me going and wandering up and down and picking my books. And do you know what I mean? I used to love it. I used to go and trace the image. I used to go and get these books on military aircraft. I loved planes I still do, really. But I used to love that. And I used to have tracing paper. So I used to go and pick my books, trace it out.
Yeah.
And then I'd draw it and things. And I love it. I can still remember the smell of that. Mm. It was just like an experience. And I think people are attached to that. So
the thought
of a library disappearing, I think even though people aren't really using them that much today, the thought of that is pretty bad.
Yeah.
And so it's like, we want to keep them, but then people aren't using them that much right now. But I do think that there'll be a resurgence in this. I can't help but think that...
In books
and libraries in general, right? Because I have an iPad and the kids have their tablets and things. But it's really weird watching my eldest, who's 11. He loves reading. Right? He's been reading since quite a young age. He absolutely loves to just disappear into a book. But it's fascinating because I'll have the book in Kindle.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'll usually prefer to read like a paperback.
Right.
And almost always have a paperback in my bag when I'm traveling.
Yes. No, I do as well. I think I've read two or three books on Kindle, but can't settle with them.
No.
Can't, it doesn't feel like home.
It's weird, isn't it? Like for me, reading is, I work in IT, so disconnecting from that world is important to me, right? It's coming down here, down to the library with you, and we do, our radio show and this podcast now. It's a lovely way to disconnect for me. You're not surrounded by IT and technology. And I find when I read, if I go and grab my paperback, I'll go and sit in the chair, put my feet up, and you know. I'm not connected at that point. You know what I mean? I'm not staring at a screen. I'm not looking at the news. And there's just something really nice about it. And I think society will come back to that. Just like things have happened with a digital, the digital world, right? Digital watches, digital music. Mm. There's that big resurgence in vinyl. We were talking on the radio show this week about you buying
a vinyl record this week. I haven't even got a record player that works properly, but I wanted that piece of art because I really appreciate it as a piece of art. And I like collecting good things. I don't collect too much stuff.
Yeah.
But I like to collect nice things that...
meaningful things.
Meaningful and give value to my life, and things that I've... Like, you know, the record that I bought, the yeah. Seal and Ardor record, is... I've really connected with it in a big way. So I want, I don't just want to connect with that on a digital level. I want it as an analog, physical, real thing, because I love it. And that's important to me right now.
It's weird, isn't it? It's,
yeah.
But I do think there is that aspect to it, right? Where my friend has old vinyl records. It's the same thing. He doesn't have a record player, but he mounts them. He's got them.
That's what I've got. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
is it the same thing? Yeah. So he has like the picture frames and just puts them up in the wall. And he's got like 9 or so just upon the wall. Mm. And it's the same thing. It's just that they're meaningful objects.
Yeah.
And I do think books. Yeah, I think that will. I don't know. I just kind of think that we'll move back towards that, because as people want to disconnect from the digital world a little bit. You know, grabbing your iPad and reading a Kindle book's not quite the same thing, right? And I predict an increase in library usage. I think it will improve as people want to reconnect to that, or disconnect, if you like, from the digital world.
Mm. But perhaps not in the current form that it's in now, as in just books, you know.
Yeah.
The people are talking about the Internet of Things. There'll probably be a library of things, you know. It'd be just stuff that you come and do in a place together as a communal activity.
Yeah.
Because the library was still very, unless I've got the wrong end of the stick, and I'm, you know, for me, it was like you individually go and book your book out and do that. And there might be a group, or you might go and do research, but it was all very individual.
It was, that's true.
And I think maybe what's coming is group use of a library.
Well, there used to be like book clubs and things, didn't they? Do you know when you would have those reading groups, and you would go and have someone would pick a book, and then you'd all go off and read it, and then come back and talk about it.
Yes.
And I remember doing that at school, and I loved that.
Yeah.
You know, reading a book, and then people would talk about their take on it, because it is quite a personal thing. And do you know when there's a movie made of a book, and everybody always says, well, it's not as good as the book. And it's because you build that world in your brain, you know, and it's your take on it and your perception of what they do. And I love that. I love the fact that somebody's written it, you know, and they've written it based on what's in their head. But that the way language is, I mean, it's quite vague, right? You have to be... Like in my job, I have to be very aware of language.
Yes.
And in fact, I spend a lot of time teaching people how to not be vague and to be precise with their language, so it can't be misconstrued. Mm. And in technical writing, that's fine. But if you're trying to engage somebody in a book and a story, naturally that language ends up being a little bit more colourful, right? It ends up being more descriptive. And I love that. I love the fact that multiple people can read the same book and come to or build a different world in their head.
An author that I've got really into of late, China Meerville. I've got no idea how to pronounce it, but it's spelt like that. So I'm hoping I'm somewhere close. Probably not his real name, but a really interesting guy. And the books that he writes are almost a little bit like Murakami, you know, those kind of... bordering on fantasy that drift very much into the fantasy world and then very occasionally come back, but then spend most of their time dwelling in that kind of era of the sort of fantasy realm, but not goblins and orcs and that sort of stuff, more just a sort of supernatural undercurrent in the real world, if you like, subculture, if you like. And he lives there. And the last book, because I'm a big fan of audiobooks when they're non-fiction.
Yeah,
I don't very much enjoy reading
non-fiction,
but I enjoy listening to non-fiction.
I'm exactly
but I
the
love
same.
Reading fiction and being totally lost in that world. And the one that that he did was Perdido Street Station.
Yeah,
again, probably pronounced it totally wrong.
I don't think it matters.
But that world that he's created there, and he spends a couple of books in there. You know, that's not the only one that he spends in that world. But my word, is that vivid?
Those universe kind of books that have always got me. It's the Hitchhiker's Guide was one that I just absolutely adored. I love the way that they build the universes. But we took the kids this week down to London.
Yeah.
And we took them to the Harry Potter experience.
Yeah,
we went and took them to the studios where Harry Potter's, where it was shot and everything.
Yeah.
And one of the things that absolutely hit me there was just the size and scale of that. And it talked about Jo Rowling having this idea, just this idea about a wizard that went to a wizarding school. And apparently she was on a train and, you know, just...
And that's
just
where it all came from.
Yeah, she just sort of thought about, you know, oh, this would be interesting.
Mm.
And then from that, like, seed came that, you know, the wizarding world. And but the thing that hit me from there was, you know, obviously, my kids have all really engaged with the movies. Leo read the books. In fact, he read the books before we watched the movies. But they're both really just engaged with that. But if they've engaged with that world, well, it's not just that book.
Yeah.
They've engaged with the whole world. And when we went to the Warner Brothers studios where they kind of show you how it was all shot and you go into the Great Hall and it shows you, you know, it's really great experience. Mm. But it's the fact that there's so many, like, grown-ups there that are engaged
in that world.
But I love that. I love that whole, you know, because it was like Terry Pratchett did it with Discworld.
Oh,
and stuff.
Gosh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And actually, it's funny you said those two things, both Douglas Adams with The Hitchhiker's Guide and Terry Pratchett with the Discworld thing. They were both... That, you know, we talk about on the radio show about that golden age of 14.
Yeah.
About 14 to sort of 16 to 18. That was where I literary identity as well as musical identity.
Yeah, and I think you're right.
They were massive for me. The Hitchhiker's Guide. I remember being, I used to work at Virgin Megastore in Burton-on-Trent.
Oh, yeah.
Called V Shop before that. and before that was Owl Price. And of a lunch break, I'd disappear down the back of the church. I can't remember what the church is called.
I remember, I was at college in Burton, and I used to go down the back of the church as well.
It's so quite around the back, next to the river where the swans are. And get Hitchhiker's Guide out and just giggle for half an hour, three quarters an hour.
Beautifully written,
with a meal
isn't it?
Deal, and then back.
The language, but again, it's the language choices that Adams made through that is just very, very clever. It's beautifully written as well.
But it's that sort of Monty Python-y, you know, Discworld had it as well, where it's that sort of British humour that I don't know if we've seen that since.
I don't think so. It is kind of almost overly clever the way it's been written, and you can read it without picking up on that and still enjoy it.
Yeah.
And it's weird for me, the older that I've got, and because Leo's really picked up on Hitchhiker's Guide.
Yes.
The audiobook, he goes to sleep to the audiobooks.
Brilliant.
One of the things in there is I pick up now more on the clever language and the clever story than I did when I was younger. But I love those things you can go back to as well. And
I had an English teacher, and I'm now in teaching. And I met this guy again. He became some sort of advisor to like county or something, you know, like the local authority. And I met him a few years after, and he, in a lesson, at the end of the lesson, I was just to hang around to chat with, you know, teachers about a few things that I picked up during the lesson. I was just interested in talking, you know, because you can't do that in a classroom context.
Yeah,
sometimes it's like a minute after or whatever. And he suddenly said, you know what you like, don't you? And I went, what? He went, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. He said, you would adore that series of books and you should definitely read them.
Brilliant.
And it wasn't until 5 years later that I picked it up and I went, my God, he was right.
Do you know what amazes me about that is it started as a radio show.
Yeah.
It wasn't books, was it? So that's what Leo's listening to now, is the original BBC radio series. But yeah, it's absolutely fascinating to me that because it's really rare for that, and it's and also what was really rare at the time was that it was on the original radio shows they have sound effects,
yes,
and they didn't at the time,
right?
It was just people talking, but if you go and get the they used to have them on iPlayer, I think it was the original ones. But you can go and get the CDs of it. And there's like sound effects on it. And it's lovely, but it was really, at the time, it was kind of groundbreaking that they did that. But the story was done like that.
Yeah.
But Adams worked on Doctor Who and a bunch of other
shows. Yeah, that's the
shows.
Thing, isn't it? Yeah, with obviously the BBC tie, you're kind of across the board there, aren't you? And that was something I wanted to sort of move on to in the worlds that are created. So, you know, we've spoken about Harry Potter. We've spoken about Pratchett, we've spoken about Douglas Adams, we've spoken about all these universes that get created through literature.
Yeah.
Do you think that they get, and you alluded to this earlier, but do you think that they lose their magic when they become more tangible in audio and visual format?
Oh, is it more like in a movie?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think people engage with these worlds in different ways.
Yeah.
So, you talked about audiobooks, and you tend not to consume fiction very well in an audiobook. I'm exactly the same.
Yeah.
So the audiobooks that I have, audiobooks that have absolutely blown me away is Adam Kay's This Is Gonna Hurt.
Yeah.
Which is now...
You told me about that.
Now
that's
on the
now
TV.
A TV. Yeah.
And honestly, that made me cry. That was a couple of Christmases ago. And that made me... I was crying with laughter. Mm. It was absolutely killed me. I was listening to it over Christmas. I can't remember whether it was last Christmas or Christmas before, but I remember cooking Christmas dinner, having the kids were all off doing their thing, and Lizzie was, watching TV, and I had it on, and it just absolutely gripped me. And it was just absolutely fantastic. They've just turned that into a TV series.
Yes.
Which is brilliant.
Have you watched it?
It's got Ben Whishaw in there, and Ben is brilliant and absolutely great. It did not have the same pull on me.
Yeah.
But having said that, my youngest is 7, and there's no way he would... I mean, he can read, he's quite capable of reading, but like Harry Potter, the movies grabbed him, and that's his world, right? And he's completely hooked and engaged with that. Mm. Whereas my eldest, Leo, he engaged with the books.
Right.
Right. And the movies are kind of, they're okay, but the books. So I think, I'm not sure one is better than the other necessarily,
no,
but I think we're all a bit different.
To that world, isn't it? So it's about the connection, not the product.
I think it's more about the skills and personality that you have, whether one is going to engage with you more than the other. Mm. But yeah, it's weird. Like for me, fiction is something that I'll read it.
Yeah.
Whereas the non-fiction, I much prefer that in an audiobook.
Yeah, you've really just helped me with something that I've been battling with, and that's the Star Wars thing. This world suddenly exploded. There's suddenly like 5 or 10 series coming, and it feels overwhelming.
The Boba Fett and the Mandalorian.
Yeah, and it's going to happen then with Lord of the Rings. It's going to happen then with Game of Thrones and all these things that are coming.
I've not watched Game of Thrones.
Oh, it's great. It's great.
I've not watched any of it.
I've read all the books and the thing.
Have you?
Yeah.
It's one of those things where I don't know. You know when something gets really popular?
Yeah.
And everyone says, you must watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of go into this little shrivelly kind
of... Yeah, I had that with
Ozark. I'm not going to watch it. And I wait until it's completely done. You know, when it's done and finished and everyone's forgotten about it.
Mm.
And then I'll go back. I did it with Breaking Bad, which I loved. I absolutely love Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
And everyone was saying, it's the best thing ever. You got to watch it. And as soon as you've got people doing that, I kind of shrivel away from it. I can't. And then I wait until it's... not cool anymore.
Yeah, and then you can do
I watch it and you think, and then you're a little bit out of time. You're going, it's brilliant. And everyone's like, we watched it 10 years ago, we don't care. There's a few things I've done that with.
Yeah.
The Wire. I don't know whether you ever watched the series The Wire.
No, people have again recommended that.
But that's brilliant. It's an American cop drug drama thing. Mm. And it's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. But again, the same thing, everyone was raging about it and I didn't watch it. Lost. Mm. I didn't watch Lost at the time.
No, I didn't watch Lost.
And I loved that afterwards.
Yeah.
So I'm like... 10 years behind the cool kids.
When it's retro.
Yeah, yeah.
When it's cool. When vinyl's cool, you get the TV. Yeah, okay.
I think, you don't want to be at the front of this stuff, do you? You know what I mean? You want to be behind.
So the bit you've helped me with is I've been struggling with the idea of, they're just overdoing it now. Same with the Marvel stuff, everything is like, how do you keep up with this?
There's always something new in Marvel.
The thing you've just said is, but it's just how different people connect to it.
Yeah.
So someone might find Boba Fett and go, and that's then their doorway into the Star Wars world.
Yeah.
Someone might watch Attack of the Clones. Someone might watch Empire. Doorway into that world, that's going to be a doorway for someone.
It
might not be your doorway, but it's there for someone.
Because my eldest, Leo, loves... So every Christmas, we go through the Star Wars movies.
Yeah,
so we go through 9 of the Star Wars movies. Mm. And over that, when I say Christmas, it's kind of like December, right?
Yeah.
From the beginning of December through till when we go back to school and work and stuff, we kind of, we'll work our way through the movies.
Mm.
But my youngest just doesn't engage with it at all. Mm. He's not interested. Yeah, if we're watching one of those movies...
Yeah.
he'll go and do something else. But he loves The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Probably makes me a terrible parent because there's lots of chopping up of people in there. But
what a event, though, that
it's
was.
Brilliant. It's brilliant. It's, yeah, it's fantastic. And he loves it. And yeah, we're both kind of quite excited about... We've not caught up with Boba Fett yet, but he's, you know, he wants to do that as well. But that'll be his... I've no doubt that will be his kind of entry into that universe and that world, you know, just like, the first Harry Potter movie gripped him and then he got into that universe and that world and those rules that exist.
Yeah.
And that's what fiction's about for me. And that's not going to go away.
No.
You know, and I don't think it will disappear into this, you know, digital only world. I think books aren't going away. Authors are not going away. Philip Pullman is a great author that my eldest absolutely loves at the minute. Absolutely loves you know, his work. Ewan Colfer as well, he loves his stuff. You know, and I think, I don't know, I think bookshops are not going anywhere.
Yeah.
I think books in general are not, and you know, because of that, libraries, I don't know, I just think there'll be a place for them.
Yeah.
Forever. But just like vinyl, they'll disappear a little bit, you know, and then, I don't know.
Come back around again.
Yeah, I think there'll always be a demand. But I think it's how libraries change.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's what kind of books are there and what kind of...
experience it is in being in one,
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, it's almost like having a book circle or something like that happens. You know, we used to do a TED Circles, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah. They're winding that up, by the way.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, the whole program. I think so, yeah.
Oh, it's
a bit
sad. Because I liked that. I kind of liked that thing. Because what would happen is that would be, for those that are not familiar, there would be like a YouTube video or there would be like a talk. And then that would form that conversation for that month and everyone would talk about it. And I liked that.
Yeah.
And I can imagine a community library having a similar kind of group, right? Yeah, where you would say, actually, you know, we're going to talk about this book.
Yeah.
Or whatever it happens to be, and everyone would just get together in the library, and that would be...
Yeah, so it's actually more about places for people to connect and collaborate and do all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. I think so, yeah. I think
rather than the individual service-based thing of what you'd associate a library to be, it's actually more about how do we create community in these spaces.
And, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a group activity rather than a solo activity kind of thing. And I can see that building over time because I think people are looking to reconnect. I think there's been... It's been really divisive the last few years since Brexit of, you know, are you on this side or that side? Or, do you know what I mean? I think it's been very, very divisive.
Total atomization. It is. Complete breakdown.
Yeah. It's digital, isn't it? It's kind of, you know, either you agree with me or you're an idiot. And, you know, I think we need to get away from that a little bit. I think it's fine to have different opinions and stuff. And I think it's natural. I think if everyone had the same opinion, I mean, it's just... boring, isn't it? I mean, everyone's got different opinions on stuff, and I think we need to relearn how to engage. And if you look at the way people, like we did the TED circles, you would quite often have a different opinion to somebody in that circle,
And you're not there to win.
No,
you don't have to beat them. You don't have to beat them in the argument.
It's not about winning, is it? It's about listening to other people, and I think those skills. I'll probably go back and talk about this quite a lot as we go through these. But one of the big changes in my career. I work in IT and I work in software engineering. And when I started my career, it was all about, engineering software. That's what I spent my day doing. These days, I spend my day as a program manager and I take our junior PMs and try and help them build skills that they need to succeed. And the vast majority of those skills are about communicating and about listening.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because they don't get taught. You don't get taught how to listen. And if you think about the career of somebody that joins like my organization, which typically they come from Harvard and MIT and the top universities, at no point does anyone take them to one side and teach them how to listen and how to engage with people and actually how to... on board other people's opinions.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we spend a lot of time dealing with, you know, the fact that it isn't, you're not trying to win. It's not about being the loudest in the room or, winning.
Yeah.
Often it's, given a group of people, probably the best idea and the best solutions are in there in everybody's brains.
Yeah.
But not in anyone's in particular.
Yeah.
Right. And the, you know, success is often trying to get everybody's opinions out and about you changing your opinion as well. And TED Circles was brilliant for that to me. I think we need to relearn how to do that. How do you you know, listen to other people and actually change your mind when, you know, there's this brilliant concept that we teach a lot, strong opinions weakly held.
Yeah.
Which is about forming an opinion based on what you information you have at the time.
Right.
But then changing your mind.
Yes.
When someone gives you a different a different opinion. And, you know, and I can see that kind of thing. You know, if they're going to wind up TED circles, then okay, that's a bit.
Well, I say wind up. I think they're changing shape a bit.
Oh, okay, yeah.
There was a notification that I got as a TED circles member that they're changing it to TED.com account. So, they're probably losing that website, but keeping the format and changing it to something else or something.
Those groups, but I think those kind of that discussion thing. Yeah. I think it's a really good thing. The library's a brilliant place to have it too.
Yeah,
you know, just to. Pick a topic, pick a book, pick a whatever, and then you get together once a month and have a you know, biscuits, some bourbons.
Got to be bourbons.
Yeah, custard creams maybe. The push, bit of Earl Grey. I love Earl Grey tea. and then just chat about stuff.
Yeah.
But you know, but you go there, not, you know, it's not about winning.
Yeah.
It's about just chatting to people. Yeah. What do you think about it?
Yeah.
You know. Thank you.